Precious child of God, you're welcome to the Sydney Alamansa podcast. Reverend Sydney is a man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through his series titled, The Bait of Satan. This is part 3. Stay tuned and be blessed.
The bait of Satan. And we want to take our scripture again from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 1. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 17, verse 1. And I read, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him to whom they do come. I take it again. Then he said to his disciple, Jesus speaking here, he says that it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him to whom they do come. Hallelujah. And I want us to go to First Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. First Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. And I read First Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. First Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. I take it again. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Today, the meaning of the word believe has been weakened. And the truth is that in the eyes of most, it has become a mere acknowledgement of a certain fact. That any time when we say the word believe, most of the times it is weakened. There is no much faith in it. And to many, it has nothing to do with obedience when we say believe. But in the passage above, the words believe and disobedient are represented as opposite. So the scripture exhort that whosoever, John 3:16, that whosoever believes in him, that in him there is Jesus Christ, says that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Eternal life. Now, as a result of the way we view the word believe, now the word believe here, many think that all that they are required is for them to believe that Jesus existed and then he died on Calvary. And the fact that I believe that Jesus exists and I believe that he died on Calvary, then I am in good standing with God. But the word believe has more meaning in the scriptures than just acknowledging the fact that he exists, and the fact that he exists, or that mentally I assent to the fact that Jesus exists. It is more than that. You see, remaining true into the context of the verse above, we can say that the main element of believing is obedience. It says that, I would say, it will not be susceptible to any kind of offense. If you love Jesus and the love for him is the very foundation of your Christian walk with him, then it should not be susceptible to any kind of offense. And then therefore you begin to stumble. But in view of that, we have to look at the Jesus himself and some kind of offenses that surrounded his life. And most of us, we have heard in Sunday school that Jesus is often presented as the shepherd, and sometimes we will see him, he's carrying some lamp on his shoulders, and then he's going, you know, to the field. Or perhaps in his arms we will see sometimes that little children are there, and then he's blessing them and he's smiling and he's saying, you know, that is the character that we have seen of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now in most of these pictures, we will see that they've written, or there will be some inscription, and he says that I love you. Now these accounts are all true, but they do not give the whole picture. This same our Lord Jesus Christ denounced the Pharisees. He denounced the Pharisees for their self-righteousness. And I've preached about this the last Sunday, that he told the Pharisees that they are serpent, brood of vipers. Matthew chapter 23 verse 33 says that they are serpent, brood of vipers. And how can you escape the condemnation of hell? So Jesus turned the tables around. The Bible says that when he went to the temple, and then he realized a lot of things were happening there, money changes in the temple, in John chapter 2 verse 13 to 22, he turned the tables around. He told the man who wanted to bury his father, you know, that let's look at it. Luke chapter 9 verse 59. He told the man who wanted to bury his father something very important, and here he says something. He says that Jesus said to him, he says, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on what? On our side. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 59. It says, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury what? My father. Verse 60. Now Jesus said to him, listen. He said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach what? The kingdom of God. Now we see the same Jesus here. And he's telling the man that if you want to follow me, then you have to do what you have to do. He said, let the dead bury what? They are dead. Praise the Lord. A close look at the ministry of Jesus reveals a man who offended many whilst he ministered. Can you imagine that, you know, something happens to you and then you come to Jesus and then he tells you that let the dead bury their dead. And you go and preach what? About the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. So we can, if we look at, or if we take a very close look at the ministry of Jesus, it reveals a man who offended many whilst he ministered. Now let's look at a few examples. Hallelujah. Jesus offended the Pharisees, and on many occasions Jesus confronted and offended these leaders because they were offended. Because truly they were offended, they sent him to the cross. Because they were offended, I would say that they hated him. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 15 verse 7 to 9, but Jesus loved them enough to speak the truth, and this was the truth that he said. Matthew chapter 15 verse 7-9. It says that, hypocrite, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Is it there? But their heart is farward from me, and in vain they worship me. This statement offended them. This statement what offended them. Now notice what Jesus' disciples asked of him. Immediately afterward, then his disciples came to him and said to him, in Matthew 15 verse 12, the disciples came to him and they said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? Is it there? Is it? Do you know that the Pharisees were what? Were offended. So when they heard this saying, hallelujah. You see, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be what? Uprooted. And he says that. So let them alone. They are blind what? Leaders. And Jesus saying they are blind leaders. And if the blind leads what? A blind, they will fall what? Into a ditch. Matthew chapter 15 verse 13-14. Matthew chapter 15 verse 13-14. So every blind man that leads what? Somebody who is blind, they indefinitely they fall what? Into what? A ditch. So Jesus shows that offenses will actually purge those who are not truly planted in the house of God. You see, that is why there are times where people come to church and some people join churches and ministry, and they find themselves in some department and having professed their love for Jesus and having said that, Lord, we love you and all that, and have not been sent by God. They have not been sent by God or are not of God. The offenses that comes when truth is preached reveals their true motives. And that is why sometimes when you preach certain messages, people are offended. They are offended because they are not actually planted. Praise the Lord. They are not what? They are not planted. He says that every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be what? Uprooted. So there have been many cases in which pastors grieve other people. You grieve other people and then they leave the house of God. Now, whether from church workers or the congregation, it happens. And in most instances, those people, they get upset because the truth was preached. There are times where people say, man of God, you preach against me. And because you preach against me, he decided that he leaves the church. And sometimes these preachings confront their lifestyles and the things that they live. So for pastors to hold on to everyone who comes through their door, it is praise the Lord. Because there are times where it's either you compromise the truth or you preach the truth. And many times when you find certain people that are in high position of influence and they are people of affluence, and the message from the pulpit confront their lifestyle and certain things that the preacher admonishes them, and they get offended. But the truth is that those who are not being planted, they will definitely be uprooted. And because they are offended, then they grieve and decide to leave. Praise the Lord. So many times you can have a house that people are big givers. They pay or they give good tithe. Because they give good tithe, and you know, a message is being preached and offends them, then they behave certain way, and the preacher or the pastor sees they behave certain way and does not want them to leave because they give good tithe, and then decide that, I stopped that by teaching. I'm not going to teach it again. Praise the Lord. And we need to understand that in most cases, if the person or the people are planted, they will be planted. Do not grieve over them. Rather, we need to feed them and nurture them. Praise the Lord. Some leaders try as much as possible to avoid confrontation because they are afraid of losing people. But we need to preach the word of God, the unadulterated word of God, that will influence the people of the house, that will influence our communities and all that. Most of the times, others are afraid that people will get hurt, their feelings will be hurt, and nothing. And as a result of that, the authority that God has given to us to feed the people, the authority that God has given to us to feed the people, to give them the word of God, we then find ways and means not to do that because we are afraid that people would be offended. Praise the Lord. But as we study and critically look at the life of Jesus, we understand that Jesus offended those from his hometown. Jesus offended those of his hometown. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 to 57. You see, Jesus had to come to his hometown to minister, but he was unable to bring them the liberty and healing that he had given to others, or he had brought to others as well. Now look at what he said. Matthew 13, 55 to 57. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Jesse, Simon, and they began to describe him and describe the route and where he comes from. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. And this is where I want you to pay particular attention. And he says that so they were what? Offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. Again, Jesus did not compromise the truth in order to keep them from being offended. No. The townspeople were so angry that they tried to kill him. They tried to kill him by pushing him to the cliff. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 4, verse 28 to 30. Luke 4, 28 to 30. You know, they tried to kill him by pushing him off the cliff. Even when his life was in danger, he continued to speak the truth. Even when his life was was in danger, he continued to speak the truth. Hallelujah. Now, how we need, and I want to say, we need more men and women of today that even in the house of God, we will speak the truth to our brother, we will speak the truth to our sister. As far as is the truth, then the notion of that the person is going to be offended is something we have to really look at. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we understand the persona of Jesus, that Jesus again offended his own staff. Praise the Lord. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, John chapter 6, 60 to 61 and 60 and 66. They said this. They said that this is a hard saying. Indeed, a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciple complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Praise the Lord. Does this what? Offend you. So from time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And some walked with him no more because they were what? Offended. And Jesus himself said, does this what offend you? So things were already tough enough as it was. And the religious leaders were plotting his death. His hometown people rejected him. His family, thought he was out of his mind. And to add more pressure, many of his of his own staff or his members left what? Offended. People that were following him, they left offended. You see, who can cry? Nanko fobu efu. Hallelujah. And they will say, oh, man of God, you are too hard on us. Oh, leader, you are too hard on us. You are too hard on us. But the truth is the truth. Praise the Lord. The truth is there. And God is looking for men and women who will stand what? By the truth, with the truth. Praise the Lord. So he just told those who left that they were also free to go if they wanted to go. And God is looking to raise a generation and raise men and women, even in the house of God, that will say the truth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, your lateness is impeding the growth of the church. Your attitude is impeding the growth of the church. You're disinterested in certain things that will help the growth of the church. Is impeding the church of Christ. And when a pastor or a leader says this, or when somebody speaks about this in the house of God, men are offended. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus offended John the Baptist. But that was the truth. Then in Luke chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. Luke chapter 7. I want us to read it. Luke chapter 7. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. Let me take it. It says that he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true. And no unrighteous is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. What do you seek? Why do you seek to kill me? The people answered and said, you have a demon who is seeking to kill you. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel. I did one work and you all what? Marvel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why is Jesus asking here? Is Jesus the Messiah, or do we look for another? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's now go to Luke chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. Luke chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. Let's look at what happened to John the Baptist. Then, verse 18, and I take it, says that, then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all what those things. New King James Version. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Are you what, the coming one, or do we look for another? Why is he asking? Is Jesus the Messiah, or do we look for another? This is John the Baptist. This is a man that came to prepare the way for Jesus. Now put yourself in John the Baptist's place. You have been a man on the cutting edge of ministry. God using you a lot in ministry. Multitude upon multitude come to your ministry, they receive from you. You are the most talked preacher in town because of your outreach in several nations. And you have lived a life of self-denial. You didn't even marry in order to maximize your potential of your calling. You have lived in the desert eating locust and wild honey and fasted often. You fought the Pharisees. You've been accused of a demon have possessed you and all that. Yet your whole life is spent on preparing the way for the coming Messiah. And now you are in prison. And being in prison, you have been locked up for quite some time now. Then you have some very few people, they come in and visit you and, you know, they give you attention and all that thing. Hallelujah. But in all these things, having known that you came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Even your own disciples joined this man, John the Baptist. And only a few of them were there to serve him. Now, when they come to see you, they begin to tell stories about Jesus. They say, there's this man, you know, he's doing miracles. He has a lot of disciples. Even some of your disciples are following him. They eat, they drink with tax collectors and sinners, and they break the Sabbath and all these things. And John the Baptist is listening and saying, I even spoke against the Pharisees and all that. This man, I spoke against sin and all those things. This man is eating with sinners and tax collectors and all that. And he looks at all these things, and the temptation to become offended begins to grow in him greater and greater and greater, even whilst he was in prison. So this man, for whom I have spent my entire life preparing the way for him, does not even visit me in jail. How can this be? How can this be? So if he is the Messiah, why doesn't he come and visit me in prison? Have I done something wrong? Praise the Lord. So you send two of your faithful disciples to question Jesus. And now they question Jesus and say, are you the coming one, or are we looking for another? And let's look at Jesus' response to John. And at the very hour, you know, he cured. Let's go to Luke 7:21. Let's go to 21. He says what? And that very hour, he cured many what? Infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirit. And to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind what? See, the lame what? Walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor has been preached to them. And blessed is what? Is he who is not what? Offended, because this is Jesus speaking here. Hallelujah. Amen. And blessed is he who is not what? Offended because of me. This is the response Jesus gave to the disciples. He said, go and tell the John the Baptist the things you have seen. And then he ends his remarks to them and say, and blessed is he who is what? Not offended because of me. And this I call offense without apology. Praise the Lord. Even if you are trained in many of God's ways, as John was, you are still likely to have an opportunity to be offended with Jesus. And you are still likely to be offended with an opportunity being with what? With Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you truly love and believe him, I'm saying again, if you truly love and believe him, you will fight to stay free from offense, realizing his ways are always higher than yours. Now, some will not understand this, I know, because you are not moved with the Spirit. And I will say that you don't allow some unpleasant things to deter you from knowing the actual truth. The actual truth. The truth that can set you free. It's like Jesus is telling you, this thing is not good, you have to stop. And you say, I'm offended because I'm a good tithe payer, or because I am the best church worker in 2025, first quarter. When you leave, or when you live for the will of God, you will not fulfill the desires of men. As a result, you see, most will not abort the flow of the Spirit because they have to compromise the truth. Nowadays, people get offended easily. even in ministry in department, the thing you are doing is this way, the leader is saying that, no, this thing you are doing is not helping the body, let's do this way. Say, I'm offended. I joined this ministry. I knew you, you know, when you didn't have beard. I have been with you from, you can't tell me this. And they offended. Now they see you, they don't even greet you. They see you, they immediately you come, they pass left, they pass right. They don't want to fall your path because they offended. But some of us will not understand because we are not moved with the Spirit. And not move with the Spirit does not mean that we are going to abort the flow of the Spirit. No. And I want to say, when you live for the will of God, you will not fulfill the desires of man. As a result, we will not suffer in the flesh. Jesus suffered his great opposition from the religious leaders. I want to close with this. If anyone challenges the truth of the gospel, it is time to be offensive without apology. And I want you to note this. Write it down. Offense without apology. We must determine in our heart as believers that we obey the Spirit of God no matter what. And I want to say, no matter how it was. Then we will not have to make the choice under pressure, because it will have been made. Definitely it will have been made. And I want to say this, that Jesus offended some people by obeying his Father. He offended them by obeying his Father. It's not the season to compromise. Jesus offended many by obeying his Father. People do not want the truth. When you say the truth, they are offended. Jesus offended so many people. I'm telling you, there are people that have said a lot of bad things about some of their leaders and some of their believers in the house of God, because they told them the truth. They told them, and how they giant, how they over then time, and I won't betray how I am. But you know that sincerely what you are doing is not right. It's not helping the body of Christ. And Jesus offended some people, not all of them, some people, by obeying his Father. But he never, I repeat it again, he never caused an offense in order to assert his own right. He never did that. He never did that. I want to end here. I want to encourage you, let you know, we should not fall in the bait of Satan by taking the truth as an offense, and then because we are not planted, the ability to be unplanted by the devil and leave the house of God is on the higher side. But if we understand that what the Lord himself have planted, the enemy cannot uproot nothing or whatsoever. When the truth comes to you and speak to your heart, and the truth tells you that you have to do it this way, you have to go this way, you have to move this path, then you know that indeed the Lord is planting you. And if Jesus was here in our generation now, he would never and ever would have compromised. God bless you. I want you to bow down your head and let's begin to pray. Whilst we pray, we are saying, Lord, if one way or the other, as I have been listening and watching this series, the bait of Satan, that Lord, if there is any kind of offense that came out of the truth that has crippled me down, Lord, I pray, but by the power and the efficacy of the Holy Ghost, Lord, release me in the name of Jesus. 1 minute, begin to pray. Lord, release me. Lord, release me. Lord, release me. Lord, release me in the name of Jesus. Lord, release me. Lord, release me. Lord, release me. Lord, release me in the name of Jesus. He says that, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. If you love Jesus, you will not be offended because of him. He says, blessed is he who is not offended The underlined word there say, who is not offended, who is not offended. Most of us, we have carried offense in our heart because one leader spoke the truth to us, because one leader called us and spoke the truth to us and said, this is how we need to do it, because it is according to the word of God. It's a dimension, it is a way according to the word of God that we need to obey the truth. That some of us have carried your things in our heart, we have carried your things in our character, in our mannerism, in the things that we do. But the Lord is speaking to us. He says that, and blessed, it means that you will be blessed if you do not carry your things because of Jesus. And we are praying in the name of Jesus that if there is an offense one way or the other that has crippled our heart, that has blinded us not to see Christ in our walk with him, we pray that may God take it from us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. May God take it from us in the mighty name of Jesus, that we will not live a life of self-denial in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray, oh God, that Heavenly Father, that Lord, every offense that has taken our heart, because whilst we walked in life, because whilst we're in the house of God, we are confronted by the truth, that one way or the other, that somebody spoke the truth to us and said that you have lived this kind of life, that you have lived this kind of way, that you are doing this specific thing in this manner, in this form, that it is not helping the growth of your brethren, it is not helping the growth of the church, that you need to correct your way, correct your manners in the name of Jesus. But one way or the other, in our life, in our family, we took offense. But we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that Lord, you will help men and women that to take that offense from their heart, that to take that offense from their heart, that we will not compromise the truth in the name of Jesus Christ, because men will be offended. We pray for that grace upon your church. We pray for that grace upon your house in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we bless you. And Lord, we thank you. As I stretch forth my hand by the extension of the hand of God, I pray, men that have lived in ages of offense, that your grace will be sufficient for them, that they will find this teaching as a foundation to get them out of any form of offense in the mighty name of Jesus. That Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we honor your name, for indeed you are a faithful God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This has been an amazing life-transforming message from Reverend Sidney Alumensa. Do not forget to share with friends, families, and loved ones. God bless you and Shalom.